Arcade Studio Podcast at the Skate and Surf Film Festival, powered by Frisco,
yep.
Italian Skate Shop, and we're here with Chris Fenner. Welcome.
Cool, nice to meet you, René. Nice to meet you, Andy.
Right, very happy to be
here. I love that he knows our name. We've never actually met,
yep.
But you were always in Italian magazines and Kingpin when Kingpin was like...
exactly.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
Huge pop, like big melon grabs, big kick flips. But you've always been very present in the Italian scene.
Yeah.
So basically you're like Italian, like local. And like now I saw your footage in the Samurai Safari
video. Yeah.
With that really crazy board slide on that rusty rail.
Yep.
With that, it didn't even look like Italy. That photo was super dope. So yeah, I just wanted to know like what are you focusing on now, other than skating? Like everyone knows you skate. Yeah. Everyone knows you skate well. What are you focusing on right now?
I'm kind of up there age-wise already too, you know, and I can't be jumping downstairs for the rest of my life. I got to come up with a plan B and stuff. But luckily, I have the opportunity through Vans. And seeing 6 years now, I've been managing the European skate team. And so with that, like, you know, I produce the videos, you know, I manage the content for the guys and, you know, I just have to see that I strategically place the boys in good places and, yeah. You know, elevate them as good as possible.
So it's like a lot of getting to know the personality of each skater and like picking possible spots and...
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, we have to cover like the age ranges and everything, you know, see that the up and coming generation is worked on as well too. Because like, yeah, I'm already like passing the torch on already too, you know, so... This is like...
Yeah, it's right to give back in some way.
No, of course, you know, and this way I'm still involved in the scene. I still get to do what I enjoy the most, you know. I'm traveling with the boys because I pick the spots, where they go film and what we do, you know, and then like to generate the content as good as possible for the brand, but most importantly for the boys, like so that they're put in the right light and their careers are supported properly. So,
and how did your relationship with Italy form? Because you are French?
Well, so my dad's Austrian.
Okay.
And my mom's Ghanaian.
Okay, okay.
I was born in Nigeria and at the age of 10, I moved to Austria. And that's when I picked up skateboarding actually. And once I finished school in Austria, like things started picking up with skateboarding for me. And yeah, and then I moved to Spain and I lived in Barcelona for a while. But while I was in Austria, like I would go to contests and a bunch of the contests were in Italy as well too. You know, and it wasn't too far for me. And yeah, that's where I made the connection to Italy. Started making a lot of friends by traveling in Italy and everything. And yeah, I've just kept that, you know, keep nourishing that. And yeah, it's been really rad because I love Italy a lot. Not only the food, but just the culture, you know, the family vibe of the people and everything. So yeah, that's what keeps dragging me back.
Yeah, I think that we're very lucky. Like I have this conversation with a lot of skaters. Like I skate as well. Like I started when I was 14 in South Africa because we're from South Africa originally.
Okay. Yeah.
And I started there. And then when I moved here, I like went into the Milano Centrale scene and like I started actually discovering what a scene was, right?
Yeah.
And then like you start discovering like as you get older and you discover like different scenes and it's like Milan, like Italy has this whole like family kind of like, it's just a game kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it used to be frustrating in the beginning because like you want to be like, wait, let's be like the Americans, like French, you know,
yeah.
Actually like do things like professionally. And then like you realize, holy shit, maybe like so many people appreciate this whole like lower expectation almost.
Yeah.
And it's like it becomes more fun.
That's so, the thing. It makes it easier. And I think like that's what should encourage like different cultures and you know different scenes that they do their own thing because like yeah, I mean, why should we just keep copying each other, you know? Like
bring
you
gotta the personality of the country into your skateboarding, into the way you live the life. It's rad.
Exactly.
Right. It also makes it more interesting when you travel, you know, from one place to the next.
Yeah.
To just like be, okay, this is not just another New York wannabe scene or, you know, Venice Beach wannabe scene. And, you know, it's cool to be able to do that. I mean, I don't skate, but I can see it from the outside.
But that's how, you know, that's what skateboarding is about. Like, you know, you're traveling around, you see someone with a skateboard, like the connection is already instant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, if you allow it, then you get to, you know, discover the country, the people, get the vibe and all that stuff. And I think that's the most beautiful part about skateboarding in general. Yeah.
And this, like, because you mentioned before we started recording, you also do photography.
Yeah.
Did that come, was that an interest that you had before when you were young? Like you started skating in like 10, you said, so it's pretty young.
Yeah.
But did that like grow because you were seeing all these places, or were you just like interested in capturing?
Well, in the beginning, it was just like a little bit of a memory backup, you know, like,
oh yeah,
going to places and everything, and you know, just having the photos. Like you're at home, there's moments where like, yeah, there's not much happening, you know, you might hit a little bit of a low, but then you go back, you look at all these photos and everything, reminisce on the good times you had and all that. So that's how it all started. But then I started getting more and more into it, you know, the technicalities with the gear, shooting film and all that stuff too, you know. So, and then with skateboarding, like, look, we look at photos all the time, like in Skate Max and everything, you know, and that's where I got like a lot of inspiration out of as well too. And that's how it helped me shape my photography as well. Yeah.
Do you have a photographer that you're like particularly inspired by, like a skate photographer or any photographer? Actually?
There's this guy, Daniel Harold Sturt is his name. And, but he doesn't really shoot too much skateboarding these days, but he always had this thing, like nobody could go shoot with him. And his thing was always like, okay, is there a potential to die on what you want to try?
Right. Okay.
Then I'm going to come out and shoot this.
Sick.
And he had like a completely different approach to how he shot skateboarding compared to like other photographers, you know. They might see it as risky, you know, like a lot of skateboard photographers, they play it safe just to have the image, you know. They don't want to bum the skate out and be like, hey, I was trying something and now I don't have the photo. But yeah, he's such a crazy guy that like he would experiment and use like unusual techniques to like capture skateboarding.
That's awesome.
And and he always like shot with the best skateboarders, of course, you know, and in that combination, like the results are like mind blowing.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's like, I remember this one cover, I think it was for Transworld. And it was, Dallas Rockvam.
Yeah.
He did a backtail at Hollywood High.
Exactly.
Like 16.
Yeah.
Backtail to fakie. And it was a sequence, first of all. And I think he took a frame from the sequence as a cover, and it was totally out of focus. Like the only thing in focus was the landing of the sequence. And then like you read, and I think the whole article was who's going to be the next big am. So it was like crazy. This whole like unfocused like cover.
What's an am?
Amateur. Who's the next big amateur? I'm sorry. And then I thought of that, like, what are you saying that? That's like, you're putting pretty much like not your life, but I mean like a cover opportunity, which is supposed to be like for a skater, it's like your face pretty much.
Of course.
And it was just like the guy's back unfocused and like the little piece of the rail on the landing was in focus. Focus, and it ended up being one of the most amazing covers.
Yeah. And I just had that conversation recently with someone about that cover, you know.
Oh, really?
And then we were like, was that intentionally or did he just fuck up?
No, and didn't he just fucked up.
I think he
fucked up.
Yeah.
That was in the interview. Yeah. Because he asked him before, he said, I'm going to purposely fuck up your photo. And he was like, what do you mean? I'm going to put everything out of focus except the landing. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was actually intentional.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
I don't believe that.
I think he's really good at saving his ass.
Yeah, because usually when you want to put something like out of focus, you make sure that nothing's in focus.
Yeah.
So that there's nothing that drags your eye away from it.
Yeah.
The two photographers
exactly.
Like,
so then it's like, I would be so angry if the landing was in focus. And I mean, it's okay if it's like I haven't seen the picture, so I don't know. But if the landing is like a massive part of the thing and it's like, okay, I want that to be the attention, you know, but you actually want that guy to be the attention. I don't know. It seems like he saved his ass.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. And I was like, yeah, but there's techniques.
So you just put that like that.
Yeah, okay, cool. There's techniques where you can put things out of focus with like tilt shift lenses and all that, you know. And the first time I saw it, I was like, was he playing around with a tilt shift lens and didn't know what he was actually doing or what the fuck's going on here?
But, you know, sometimes pictures are just undeniable. You know, they just write for a moment and you can just do whatever you need to do and just not publish anything. Yeah. It's cool.
No, but I'm sometimes a bit more poetic than you guys. I was like, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always right. If a picture works and it's out of focus, it gives a shit, just use it, you know, because it's obviously still a...
Yeah, the album cover for The Clash, They didn't want to use that cover because it was out of focus, or the photographer didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, this is amazing. And it ended up being like the most like,
it's crazy. Iconic.
Yeah.
No, but sometimes like I get film back and stuff and I look at the photos, and at first glance, like some, I don't like some photos, but then I let it rest. And then I come back to it like a while, like a year or two later, and I see the photos again, and I'm like, well, actually,
there's something there.
There's something there that I didn't see at the first.
That's so sick.
You know,
it's maybe the same also going back to the work that you're doing with the kids now. It's probably, it might be the same that is like you meet a kid and it's like, oh, this kid, you know, and then you spend some time with them
and
you sort of get into their mindset, and it's like, oh, okay, now I understand. And now this is what, it just needs, it just needs to be cropped differently.
Exactly.
You know, it needs to be put in the right place. It doesn't work for Instagram, but if I blow this up massive, it'll be great. So, you know, that's a cool, I think everything needs to be looked at from, with the benefit of time.
Exactly.
You know, which is what you were talking about that also earlier, which is the fact that everything has to be so quick now.
Yeah.
You know? So if it doesn't capture you straight away, then it's shit and you just throw it away.
Exactly.
And it's so cool to be able to spend some time, which is sort of what we try to do here as well. Is like not do like a quick interview, 5 minutes and get it out the door.
Yeah.
And just like dive in, because you sort of understand the person a little bit more. You get into the same feel and it's like something gets built up. It's rad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sick. And then let me just piggyback on that. Cause like we did a lot of talking. We did like 5 minute talking before just to get like to know each other a little bit better.
Yeah.
And you were talking about, cause you're managing basically also all the production and like the almost the marketing, the image of the skate side.
Yeah.
And you were talking about a full length, which is like really, it's weird to hear that now that someone is spending 2 years to do a video.
Video. Yeah.
And this is coming out soon, right?
Yep.
Okay.
On the 22nd of June, it drops on Thrasher. And but like this all started like during the pandemic, you know, because like, once the pandemic hit, there was like no travel in the beginning, you know, but at home I noticed, I was like, man, this is actually the best time for skateboarding because I could skate stuff that was never possible. You know, it's like businesses were closed. I could hit things that and all that. And so I was like, man, we got to find a way to just keep traveling and then like, and skate, because this is when we're going to have the opportunity to skate things that we might never have the chance to do that, you know? So I had to get a little bit creative with all that stuff. And yeah, there was a lot of testings, a lot of vaccines going on.
Oh,
to like keep the whole show on the road. But then one major problem was like, I'm traveling with a crew of 16 people and I can't find a restaurant to get these people fed. So, and then I asked my mom, I'm like, mom, you want to come on a skate trip?
Oh, kidding. Seriously.
Yeah. And my mom was like, so over it too, because the pandemic, she was just stuck at home. Like her opportunity is like, always traveling to visit her kids that are spread all around the world.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it was like 1 year just stall. She couldn't do anything. And I was like, mom, you want to come on a skate trip? She's like, fuck yeah, let me book my ticket right away. I'm like, hold up. I'm going to book you the ticket because there's a little twist around this whole thing. She's like, what is the twist? And I'm like, yeah, you got to cook breakfast and dinner for 16 hungry, crazy skaters. sick. And she was like, I've done that my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
I had to see that you guys were fed and everything.
And
so
your friends that you brought home.
Exactly. That's what it was there.
That was so sick.
And the next thing you know, like mom was, part of the whole crew.
Is that the first time anyone's ever done that? Like,
I don't think anybody's ever done that because like when I first said it, everyone was like, are you out of your mind?
You have to have a Ghanaian mom to do that.
It's like, how are you going to take your mom on a skate trip? And I'm like, you know what? I think like, raising us kids, my mom has seen a lot of stuff and there's nothing these boys are going to do that's going to like, you know,
freak out.
But
that is sick.
It worked all in our favor because like we were so productive because first of all, like I didn't have to wake anybody up. They're like, they woke up on their own because like mom was already whipping the breakfast up and the smell was all around the house.
And also a little bit of the respect of like, there's a woman preparing breakfast for me. It's not some hotel cook.
Exactly.
No, you're going to wake up because you don't want to be a shit.
That's the thing. Yeah. And then like by 11, we're done with breakfast and everything. We're out skating. And before midday, we already have filmed like the first clip and stuff, you know?
That is crazy.
And then
that is fucking awesome.
Moms, dude.
And she prepares like sandwiches for us and everything. So like during the day, we don't have to go like spend money in a, like a cafe or lose time. Like, because you go in a cafe with all these people, like 2-3 hours already gone before everybody's ate. And, you know, so like we're constantly on the go. And then like by 8, 9, like we're done skating and then we head home. As soon as they get through the door, like boards are just thrown in the corner. Yeah. Food is prepared and ready. And then they eat. And then, yeah, there's beers at the house. You know, they roll their joints or whatever. And then by midnight, 1 o'clock, they're in bed. And then
crazy,
you know, and it's like she kind of streamlined the whole operation.
That's amazing.
Which was really cool.
What's your mom's name?
Frida.
Frida. You killed it.
That's amazing. But it's cool because I'm just imagining
good video name
if
as
your
well.
Mom was Austrian and your dad was Ghanaian, it would have been a completely different story.
Oh, yeah. totally. No, but it all worked out well, you know, and she was like a part of the whole thing. Like on the last trip we did for filming the video, she ended up getting 3 tattoos in one night too.
What?
And I was like, what the hell is going on here? It's like, the last day she didn't cook. She came out on a session with us. She's like drinking beers at the skate spot.
Legend.
By the time we get home, like, yeah, she had a few too many, I think. That's why she got super loose. Next thing you know, she's got 3 tattoos. And I'm like, Mom, like, what are you doing? She's like, yeah, I got to celebrate this. Like, we finished the whole video. Things are looking good. Come on.
Such an amazing experience.
Yeah, man. I wasn't expecting that, honestly. I was like, what the hell's happening?
But it was really cool. So like that's how the whole story, like for the article in Thrasher magazine as well too, because they're always looking for new concepts and everything. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, we don't want the typical, like we went there, we did this article and all that stuff. And I was like, well, I think I could just tell the story through the perspective of my mom. And the guy was like, what, your mom? Like, what does your mom have to do with this? I was like, yeah, my mom was like on all the skate trips while we were filming for this video. It's like, no, bullshit. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to interview her for the article and stuff. And he was like, yo, that's never been done. So yeah, we want to have it that way.
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm doing something like never perfect. Been done like for an article. That's,
It's cool. And also I'm just imagining, I don't know the kids that were on the tour or the young adults, but you know, not everybody has a great family life now. Mm. And to arrive there and have this mother that's taking care of you, like if you don't have that, or even if you do, it's like, it's very comfortable. It's nice to have that experience.
It's so good. It did all of us really well. And it's like, it brought everything really closely together, you know, because like everybody was well behaved as well too, because I mean, mom's whipping up breakfast for you. You can't just stand up and just like leave your mess behind and all
right,
that.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Like boys are cleaning up and all that. And I was like, don't recognize you guys anymore. Like,
I wonder
what's
if,
going
like,
on?
More, if like after the video comes out, more team managers are going to be bringing like.
No, funny thing is like, I'm supposed to go on a Volcom trip to Poland in mid-June. And the team manager was like, hey, do you think we could book your mom for this trip? And I'm like, yeah, I'll ask my mom, like, you know. And then she was like, I asked mom, I'm like, yeah, that would be a job opportunity, you know. And she's like, no, I only travel with my boys.
Yeah,
no. That's loyalty. That's
like,
loyalty.
I'm not going anywhere else. You know, it's like I know my boys and everything, so I know where I'm at, and I'm just gonna stick with that.
It's magic. You know, it could have been weird, and it actually worked out, and then maybe the next time is weird, and it breaks the memory from the first. I think it's one of those things you got to do one and done.
Exactly.
Sort of thing.
Yeah,
it's cool because it's just like such a rad story.
No, and it's funny because she was out on skate on like on some sessions and stuff. So she's got like, you see her in the video too. That's like fist bumping the boys or like cheering with a beer in her hand, like when someone rolls away from a trick. So no, it's been really cool.
That is so sick.
And do you ever go back to Africa and skate? Have you ever done anything there?
Yeah, I was recently in December, I was just back in Ghana because my good friend Sandy, she runs the NGO down there for Surf Ghana. And she built the first skate park in Accra. And in December, it was like the first year anniversary.
True.
And it was actually a really cool opportunity because I hadn't been back to Ghana for 32 years.
Oh, wow.
The last time I was there, I was 6 years old. And and I got to go back now, like with skateboarding and everything. So it was a really awesome experience. And unfortunately, like what's going on down there now with the skate park being shut down because of like some greedy people and all that stuff. It's really sad, like because she's doing such a rad job down there. Like empowering the youth and just giving them the possibility to express themselves and like develop themselves, you know? And yeah, I just hope she can manage to like sort things out there and everything. And whoever's listening and all that, like check out Surf Ghana.
Yeah, I was
going to check out the Freedom Skate Park Ghana. And they have like a little donation link there for the legal fees like that she has to deal with all this stuff. So any support will be welcome. And
we'll put the link in the description. I'll ask you for the link afterwards and we'll put it down.
Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, the thing is in Africa, there's so much talent. It's just sitting there and it hasn't been, you know, in any way, they don't have the opportunity to get really shown that much.
Exactly.
I mean, we had in South Africa, we had Blunt magazine back in the day and it was like really big and that folded after, you know, 20 years or whatever it was going on.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have the infrastructure. It's a pity. It's good to get, the more people you get into it, the more greats you're going to find.
You know? Of course. Yeah. No, and then already like in this short period of time, like what Sandy has done down there. You see it with the surfing. Like she started with the whole surf community a little bit outside Accra in a village called Busua. And it's been going on for like 5 years now, a bit more. But if you go there now and you see those kids surfing, it's unbelievable.
The devil's
like
crazy.
Mind blown, you know. And just like, that's the same thing that's going to happen with skateboarding down there, you know.
It's like, yeah, and then it's tourism because, you know, when a spot opens up, it's, you know, there are probably decent waves in Ghana. It's on the Atlantic Ocean. It's pretty wild. And, you know, there won't be that many people actually on the waves.
No.
So you might as well, if you want to spend like a week surfing, go to Ghana.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
And just like really have fun and you meet people. The food's going to be amazing. And you're going to just freak out.
It was so good. We didn't have too much time there, but that short time we had, I was like, wow, it was really hard for me to leave. And I was talking to my mom about it. And my mom was like, well, you know, we still have a little bit of land down there from your granddad. And maybe we should do something. I'm like, I'm pretty ready. Yeah. Like, let me know, you know. And like my parents living in Europe now, they're considering like, you know, going back to Africa, living a simple life. You
Did
know,
they
know
meet that, in Africa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, sick.
And, but yeah, they moved the whole family to Europe, you know, because like the political situation in Nigeria at that time. But they're thinking about going back, actually. You know, like things just go way easier down there. Yeah, you know, it's like way laid back, you know.
Yeah, it depends on the situation because like in South Africa at the moment, we don't have any electricity.
Oh, yeah.
So it depends on the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like definitely if you can get a place on the beach, you're chilling out and, you know, it's close. It's an awesome, awesome experience. And then there's energy in that continent that is just nothing, nowhere comes near it.
That's true.
It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah.
But again, like you say, you know, you come here, you got a bit more stability and you got to, you know, you can build a network, but the nice thing is to go back. And
of course,
and
yeah.
If any way to give back to the communities down there is rad.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope. Yeah. I keep on like, lately, I don't know why I've been getting these Uganda skate park, clips in my Instagram feed.
Yeah.
And every now and then would come up like years ago still. And you would start seeing them like doing random kid tricks.
Yeah.
Like even the old guys, like maybe just spinning on their board. And then like yesterday I saw a clip of a guy doing like a fake inward heel flip on the bank. And the skate park is legit like fucking hardcore. It's like the bank is like this.
No, proper steep.
Proper steep. Like the quarters are like deadly.
They got murdered on them already.
Yeah. And they're skating like easy. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy's going to be like after Japan, like Uganda and Africa.
The great thing is that also like all of these countries have gone through at least a little bit of a dictatorship. So they've put up these big brutalist buildings somewhere.
Yeah.
So you've got concrete and you've got marble and you've got like weird lines.
Yeah.
And
when it starts skating street. Yeah.
It's gonna be like, so it's going to be wild. I mean, the downtown Johannesburg is madness.
Yeah.
If you can survive it.
That's it. Exactly.
Survival of the fittest.
Yep.
Cool, man. But do you have anything you want to plug or anything you want to add? Like, I know you also do like music on the side.
Yeah, that's just my stuff. And then like hiding under the shower and singing because I don't want to. I don't want to put that on anybody.
But you'd like to.
Of course, I enjoy it. But it's like, I just keep that to myself.
Yeah, we're in the same situation. Yeah, I think that's the same thing.
Yeah.
But no, really, really cool. And I think we can close it here because that whole like Frida story was really, really amazing.
Yeah.
So
thanks for the opportunity, guys. It was really fun.
Really cool. Thanks so much. Again, let's go over the your Instagram and whatnot.
Yeah, for Surf Ghana.
Yeah.
Surf Ghana is the NGO that my friend Sandy runs in Ghana, and the Freedom Skate Park. So if you go on Instagram, check out Freedom Skate Park in Accra, and you see the link in the bio, and anything you can donate to help them with their legal fees will be really cool. Because yeah.
Fantastic. Let's do that.
Amazing.
And while you're at it, please subscribe and give us your likes and comment on the video. Please, please, please. We need all the help we can get.
Exactly. Woo. So RK Studio Podcast with Chris Fanner. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Renee.
Huge shout out to Frisco family, and to the Skate and Surf Film Festival. We'll see you in the next episode.
Nice one.
Bye-bye. Woo.